Marty, Cantor, you know him well. Long Island economist, socioeconomic policy, some of the best minds here on the island. And, you know, you put Marty right at the top. Nice enough to give us a couple of minutes here on a Monday morning. We say Happy New Year to you, sir. Hope all is well with you.
Yeah, Happy New Year back to you, Jay. Glad to be on.
Great to have you here. PPP coming into effect today, $284 billion. From that relief bill, Marty, you know, the island has been hit very, very hard here. We know the stimulus has come and gone, the $600 and everything else. So who knows? We got another one possibly brewing here with the incoming administration here. Give me the overall assessment, what you're feeling right now as far as the island and the economy.
Long Island, quite frankly, is doing better than the rest of the country since we've gotten a little better control over the COVID. Unfortunately, the service sector, the hospitality sector, entertainment, restaurants and things like that, that sector has been really hurt very, very hard. Reports of 30% of the businesses closed might not open up. And most important, most of the unemployed on Long Island, or most of the folks whose jobs will permanently disappear, are in that sector, and they represent the lowest wage earners and the poorest of Long Islanders. So they're still suffering in terms of economic growth and job creation and job reinvigoration. But the higher paid jobs, manufacturing on Long Island, they're doing well. They've come back to work. Those who are able to work remotely are doing okay. But those who have to actually show up to work, they're the ones who are hurting the most during this pandemic.
Marty, we got another round of PPP being distributed today. We know the first go-around was a complete disaster of how people would get that money. We've learned a lesson, I hope. What about the aspect of round two here coming this week?
Well, most important, the money is not being distributed today. It's being the SBA is opening up applications today. A lot of the banks where most of the PPP loan applications were filed and funds distributed have not their websites have not kept up with this new opening round of PPP. Banks still don't have that portal open for the new round, which I'm sure they're just waiting for the final regs from the SBA. The SBA put out interim regs last week, and the banks are waiting for final regs to firm up their websites. But what's going to happen is those who received PPP loans in the first round, they're going to be the ones that the banks are going to reach out to and have an easier task of applying for a second round of PPP. Those who did not apply for first round PPP, you can have more than 500 employees, but the second round is limited to 300 employees and $2 million. And there's about $20 billion set aside for minority businesses, and those businesses who don't have conventional lending sources. A lot of businesses don't have bank accounts, so there's not-for-profits and local development companies which are going to be able to accept applications. So it's a little different. It's also being targeted. Restaurants can use a multiplier of 3.5 of their payroll to be covered by the PPP. Other companies are still limited to that 2.5% of payroll on an 8-week or 24-week period. So, it's more targeted than the first one. But remember, the first one, we were really impacted adversely and suddenly by COVID. So the most important thing the Congress wanted to do was get the money out. Now the Congress wanted to be more defined and focused, which is probably the better way to go.
No question. Marty Cantor with us. You're looking at numbers we have never seen before, 31,000 plus beginning of Monday on the DJI. How does that equate? To reality, with all that this country has been going through with COVID, the caseloads, the death numbers per day, 4,000 plus, 280,000 American lives lost. And you look at the worst month that we have experienced ever. How do these numbers mean what they are. 30,000 was unbelievable. 31,000 is like, it's like, wow. How do we achieve that?
Well, remember that there's two different senses of the economy. The first one is Wall Street, and the second one's Main Street. You know, and businesses are not doing that poorly. The retail businesses, the entertainment sectors, like I had mentioned before, they're the ones who are doing poorly. The airline stocks might be doing better because they got a bailout. But the most important thing to remember is that when you're getting 0.25% interest on your money at a bank, I mean, that's like less. That's way less than 1%. There's no place to put your money to invest to do better, and that's what's also driving the market. Is it's getting a lot of capital from people who want a better return on their investments from banks. So that's the one major thing. The second, the stock market is including in it what it expects to be the vaccines turning around the economy, people getting out and going into sectors that have been hurt. So it's portending the economic growth. It could be all short term if what comes out of this new Congress and new president in terms of more regulations and higher taxation for corporations, the stocks will come down. Remember, everybody clamors, well, let's tax corporations. But corporations don't pay taxes. Consumers do. So whatever the increase in taxation will come, it'll be increased in goods and services that people use. And so when you hear about tax increase for corporations, we're paying the tax. So, but it's just another revenue source.
The claims came out, jobless claims came out last week. The island jumped significantly. It was the second straight week. And you have the unemployment payments to be dispersed, the extra 300 and everything else. So the claims, I think it was 30%, Marty, it rose on Long Island. And the week prior, claims rose 48% over the previous week there. So, you know, you look at both weeks, the local numbers contrasted with a modest decline in the national claims. What does that tell you here on the island as far as those numbers?
Well, remember, a lot of the holiday shopping season is over. So those temporary workers that were hired that showed a decrease in unemployment in the months of September, October, November are now part of the new unemployed because a lot of the retail businesses are shedding those temporary employees. So we have to remember that. That's a big factor in terms of the increase in unemployment.
What about the situation now of the adding the extra dollar to, what is it, $14 to $15 an hour now, the minimum wage. A lot of people are saying, how do you do that? Should the state have done something about that as far as halting it, knowing the fact that businesses are hanging on to dear life right now, just trying to maintain? What about the aspect of the rising minimum wage number at a time of despair is what we're all in here?
Well, I have no problem with increasing the minimum wage because, remember, those are workers who are at the low end of our economic spectrum, and they're being hit the hardest for when they work. In terms of the businesses, they're getting the PPP loans if they're smart enough to apply for them, which will cover the increased payroll. In effect, the government is providing that. But, if you had delayed the increase, you're just delaying it for the poorest of the poor in terms who are working on minimum wage, and they're the ones suffering the most. So in terms of a humanity point of view, there's a good balance between the economy and humanity by increasing the minimum wage.
With the relief bill, there was a lot of negotiation. One side, Democrats, $160 billion, give or take, state and local protections. On the other side, they wanted regarding employers. You look at the state right now with New York, and you don't know how they're going to get out of this. They need help. They need relief. I mean, what happens to the state of New York down the road here? What do you foresee here? The state get back to where they need to be somewhat here if they don't get any help from Washington?
Number one, I think that with the new Congress and President Biden, I think you'll see some money for state and local governments. you know, if it's significant and it needs to pass the Senate by the 60 votes, then it's not going to happen. But what the governor has done and is saying he's now going to look to legalizing marijuana and also betting and to get some of that money back here. So we're looking at the deadly seven sins to balance New York State's budget. And, of course, he's got to find new revenues. He can't increase tax. In the state of New York, I will tell you this, that we have lost the most people in the union in terms of emigration from New York to other places. We're about to lose another congressional seat, dropping us to the fourth largest congressional delegation behind California, Texas, and Florida. People are fleeing the state, and I think that you know, raising taxes is not the way to go. I have no problem with raising taxes on the multimillionaires. You know, if Mike Bloomberg can put $100 million into the Florida race, he can certainly afford to pay a little more income tax for the state of New York. So I have no problem taxing the wealthy. However, it's got to be short-term, maybe a surcharge. But the danger is if our income tax rates exceed those in other states for the wealthy are the most mobile people in the country, and they can just pick up and move any place they want. So we so that's a challenge that the mayor has to, that the governor, rather, has to balance with the need for revenues.
No question. You know, one thing regarding the sports betting, I've been an advocate for a long time. I cannot figure out why we have not enacted this way back in time. You can go across the state of New Jersey and just kiosk yourself into oblivion as far as putting bets in place. New York, revenue-wise, would gain so much, and this should have been put in place such a long time ago. Why not sports betting? You know, you could go online and everything else anywhere, but why not the state reap the benefits of this?
You know something, I agree with you totally. If other states are doing it, you know, we should be implementing something that keeps the money here in New York State. Look, I'm not an advocate of betting. I mean, betting takes money out of the economy and gives it to the bookmakers and the people who handle the, you know, the take. But if you're going to have betting, sports betting in other states, so we need to be competitive and to keep the money here in New York. So it's about time that the governor is thinking about it, as well as legalizing marijuana, which is you know, recreational marijuana for adults. I mean, you go out west, Colorado, any of those states, they all have it. Maine has it. So it's time that you know, it's time to put the ethics and the morals and start looking at the economy.
In a sensible situation, no question.
Absolutely.
Of how it would benefit you. Marty, last one. As we kind of get through this, the vaccine is out there, the plan hopefully to be implemented properly now within the state. Where do you see us going here? When do you see Long Island in particular? And you say they're doing better than a lot of other places. What do you see down the road here with vaccine distributions in place, centers out there? When do you see us getting back? Is it going to take all of 2021 to get back as we get into 2022 when we finally see, you know, the normalcy of it all? What do you foresee here down the road?
Well, two things. Not to be flippant, but the song from Annie, "When the Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow." Two things happen. As soon as the warm weather starts to come out to Long Island, probably April-ish, you're going to see outdoor dining back, and a lot of the restaurants are going to come back and open up. But clearly, any economic recovery flows through the vaccine. If the earlier the vaccine comes in widespread distribution to Long Island, and people are talking about March to reach down to the final population, rather, goes in, I think Fauci said in June, those in the sensitive areas, sensitive demographics, rather, will probably be all vaccinated by April, May. And so we can't, you know, until we have a widespread herd immunity, the economy won't open up because people's fears will keep them at home. And which quite frankly, it's a good thing that the counties and the state taxed online sales, because if they didn't, the state budgets would be way worse more than they are. they're balanced right now because online sales have been robust in New York State and on Long Island. And sales tax revenues are coming in greater than anticipated because of online purchases. So I see economic recovery flows through the vaccine as well as the warm weather.
I agree with you. You know, you got to get people back into the swing. Main Street, U of A, certainly the indoor dining. You know, we know that is an engine of some sort in order to really percolate here.
The outdoor dining is the key. You need to get people outdoors. And once you get people outdoors, there's less gathering indoors and less a chance of spreading indoors. So I think that was one of the reasons why COVID didn't spread as much during the summer here, because everybody was outdoors and they were going to events. And once we started going indoors, that's when the spread started to happen. So like I said, the vaccine, economic recovery flows through the vaccine and the warm weather on Long Island.
Question. We await that. Marty Canna, always great to have you, sir. Happy New Year again. Look forward to the next time.
Happy New Year to you, and look, call me anytime.